Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're listening to The Happy Hour with Nick Sainert.
I'm leaving, people.
Huh? And Enrique Alvarez Clary.
What do you mean, you people?
What do you mean, you people?
Huh? Sponsored by Empire Fence and Netting on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome into the Happy Hour, 93.7 The Ticket, theticketfm.com. Nick, Rico, and Austin. Austin's hanging out. Appreciate him doing a couple extra hours of radio today.
Should have got here earlier. I would have thrown you on the captain.
Well, show. You didn't tell me you needed me to fill for character until 10:30 when I got to the parking garage. So
yeah, well,
if you would have told me.
Communication, Rico.
I didn't.
To be fair, my
we all have
my
phones.
Mother-in-law does not make it down until 10:30 to watch the young one. So,
Do you want me to be honest too?
How is the young one? No, because I know it's coming. And it's not good to say.
I forgot Bach wasn't working.
There, that's exactly what I was going to say. Not fine. Good to say.
This is fine.
How is little Herbie?
Great. We spent the weekend out in far western Nebraska.
That's right.
By which I mean Grand Island.
It's central. Central
it's
Nebraska.
It's western Nebraska.
It's not
we'll
Nebraska.
Go over this. He was a trooper through 4.5 hours to the state fair.
Okay.
Cool. I was very proud of him. Yes. He made it. We kept him cool as best we could, in and out of buildings, air conditioning, and whatnot.
Gives
him and then for the first no, we did not get him any we are not under the sugar.
He's
phase.
Like one.
Yes. He's not and? Even one.
He's yeah. not even 1 year old.
You don't
old.
Have to chew it. It dissolves in your mouth.
Yeah, you still get some gum damage.
Yeah.
To prevent.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We're not gonna Fine. Do that. And then we for the first time I've been Olivia and I have known each other for 7 years and change now. Fourth wedding anniversary is coming up. I'd never
Congrats.
Helped her family with their corn picking day.
That's right.
So we did that yesterday, and that was a grind, but it was good. Again, he made it through. He's a trooper.
Where at?
Ravenna.
Thank you for saying it correctly.
Again, western Nebraska.
It's not Ravenna.
It's not.
Ravenna.
Ravenna.
You say it with like the Savannah accent.
Okay.
Ask Ravenna. Chris, ask Chris Basnett.
Yeah. You got Baz.
Okay, cool. Anyway,
that's so, called a transition.
Anyway,
402-464-5685. I'm looking over. It's always fun game notes, Susan.
Oh,
game notes that we get emailed out, and they print the physical copies for us at the pressers.
Love the physical.
Copy. You can check them out on the Huskers.com if you like to. But just this week's numbers. They always do little cool stat pieces. This week's numbers. Two of them strictly.
E Strickley
sticks out to me. Dylan Raiola is expected to start at quarterback against UTEP. That'd be such a letdown if he doesn't. if Raiola, I mean, can we talk? In
like,
all honesty, if Dylan Raiola is not taking the field on Saturday, man, what a storyline we'll have.
Can you imagine? They're just like messing with people. They're just like, all right, Heinrich, get out there. He takes the first snap and then they swap back out.
If Raiola does start against the Miners, which, by the way, it's the first time in school history that Nebraska is going to be facing off against UTEP, Dylan would join Adrian Martinez as the only true freshman quarterback to start a season opener in school history. The other number that sticks out to me is 42. Offensive tackle Bryce Benhart is expected to start at right tackle against UTEP. Can you imagine? I'm kidding. The start would be the 42nd start of Bryce Benhart's career and would establish a new record for career starts by a Husker offensive lineman.
Woo. Imagine telling yourself that 3 years ago.
Bryce Benhart is
you
going
would
to
think,
start.
Hold on. Would if we would have told everybody 3 years ago, Bryce Benhart will have the most starts for an offensive tackle in school history going into game one of year four, we would think that his career would be looking a lot different right now.
Very much so.
Right.
If you tell me,
I mean, serious potential in an NFL draft pick.
Mm-hmm. Right. If you tell me this 3 years ago, after we've seen a rough year from him, I think a lot of people said, nope, there's no way. He's too tall. He doesn't move well enough. There's no shot. but you didn't realize there'd be a coaching change and that, you know, the staff would believe in him, put him in this position to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
So I think more than anything, it's a testament to his work and his development with the coaching staff more so than any talent or potential he had coming out of high school.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I mean, like Turner Corcoran's got to be close to that. I mean, close to the number on the other side of the line. I know he's had more injuries than Bryce, obviously, but Turner Corcoran's got to be somewhat closer.
Was he the year after Bryce, or were they the same year?
They were the same year. They were the same year, because then you had to start both of them at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've been going back and forth on like the level of concern for the offensive line this year. It's going to be difficult to judge against UTEP potentially. UTEP does have a very good linebacker in Maurice Westenhouse, Westmoreland. Westmoreland.
Yep.
Maurice Westmoreland is the guy. Matt Rhule called him today. He called him an NFL guy, disruptor in that defense for UTEP. But like, once again, is you hope that Nebraska is able to kind of have their way on Saturday, and they, like, they need to, like, it's time. Year two for Matt Rhule. It's what you're preaching. Even in a time where the running backs are up in the air, the situation at running back is up in the air. Doesn't matter. It can't matter. You need to have your way with these guys on Saturday.
What makes you guys feel more comfortable about the rest of the year? That Nebraska puts on a clinic in the first half, vibes are high, vibes are good, they're putting on a show, lots of highlights? Or would you rather see Nebraska just be workmanlike? Let's say the game ends up like 45-10. Would you rather see two like huge blitzes of scoring where Nebraska puts up like 21 points in one stretch and 24 in another? Or would you rather see Nebraska just score like a touchdown or two each quarter?
I want the latter of those two. I think the consistency piece is key. I think sustainability is something that Nebraska's lacked dramatically over these last couple of years. While yes, it's only year two of Matt Rhule, I think from a program standpoint, they've lacked sustainability, especially on offense. The ability to say, all right, you know what, when we need some points, whether it's in the first quarter to start the game or whether it's in the fourth quarter with 7 minutes left on the clock, and you either need to put a game out of reach or you need to come back. Nebraska, there's just been so little confidence in their ability to move the ball down the field. And I think maybe back in like 2018, 2019, we thought that was going to go away with an offensive-minded head coach, and it obviously did not. Nebraska struggled, right? Whether that was, once again, sustainability at running the football, consistency at throwing and completing passes, it just wasn't there. The decision-making from guys was not there. So what that tells me, the latter of those two options, is number one, you're consistent. You have an idea of what you want to do offensively, which has been not necessarily the case. And number three is that you're not turning over the football. You're having good decision-making by guys. They're paying attention to the little things, because that has not been there the last few years.
Can I ask for a mix of both, where Nebraska has the ability to just grind it out, go down the field, sustain drives, as Nick said, you know, show the ability to not turn the ball over and to just get your job done. You're either running down the field at a consistent rate, or the short passes are working. But also just like two drives where you have a big play.
I think a lot of that's not going to be able to be talked about after Saturday, though. Like, we're not going to be able to. It's going to be too small of a sample size.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be way too small of a sample size. So this is going to be like a conversation that we'll have to revisit, you know, 2 months down the road when Nebraska's in week 8 and going into Columbus or out of Columbus. Mm-hmm. Like, that will be the conversation after Ohio State in week 8 or whatever week it is. Where it's the, okay, how did Nebraska fare in the turnover margin prior to the game in Columbus? But now, and how did that change, if it changed at all, out of Columbus? How do we view this team's ability to take care of the football? The certain players will be able to look at decision-making, mainly Dylan Raiola in this case. It's decision-making. And then a couple of those offseason injuries, how did guys step up, or was there a dramatic difference from when Bly Hill got back to where...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It was almost like a gap, like we've seen at quarterback the last couple of years, between DB1 and DB2.
Mm-hmm. Like in this game, if you tell me that Nebraska is averaging 5-6 yards in this game specifically against UTEP, 5-6 yards a carry, and they're just, again, workmanlike down the field, I would feel really good about that. But also, I feel like there's a need to be able to show that you can score quickly. You can have that explosive play, whether it comes from a running back or a wide receiver. Hell, even if you get a defensive touchdown, just the ability to score quickly, I think, is imperative for Nebraska, but not as imperative as that workmanlike mentality and being able to hold on to the ball and get down the field.
I know you've had thoughts, Austin. I want to get to you. I think on that point, though, is if you provide that workmanlike kind of approach, then the little stuff comes.
Then
the flashier stuff, the ability for a big play break. I thought Matt Rhule said something very, very notable this morning. And it was, last year we were blocking for 4 yards and we'd get 4 yards. This year we need to block for 4 and get 9. We need to block for 4, get 12. What that tells me is you need guys that are able just to make plays on their own. I think that was what made running back is such an easy position to talk about this with, because even in the 2010s, more recent, the Amir Abdullahs, the Roy Helus, the Rex Burkheads, what did they do so well? They made guys miss. Nebraska hasn't had that. There's been flashes, right? But ultimately, Nebraska hasn't had a guy in the backfield that's been able to consistently make somebody miss, make a play on their own, whether that's a jump cut, whether that's a spin, whatever it is. What made Amir and Roy and Rex in that stretch so talented and deadly in the backfield, dynamic, is their ability to, if a play did break down or somebody got past the offensive line, which is going to happen this year especially, they were able to make a guy miss 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage and then break it off for 6. That's the same as this, where even if Nebraska's offensive line can only get a couple of yards open for a running back to, you know, run 3-4 yards, what can they do in the second level to either escape and have an 80-yard touchdown run or make a 4-yard gain to make it 2nd and 6, make it 2nd and 2? How can they go that extra step on their own without the offensive line's help?
The defense will always be at an advantage in the run game because you're not blocking your quarterback.
You're
so right.
Right
there, it's 11 on 10.
Yes.
Oh, and by the way, you're handing the ball off to the running back. So essentially it's 11 tacklers on 9 potential blockers. The way that I think a lot of people want to scheme up the run game is so you always have one extra helmet than the defenders do.
Yeah.
Right. That's ideal, but it doesn't always work that way, right? Defense's game plan against you too. They get hatched to the ball. More often than not, you're checking out of a run if you're down a helmet. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll pass the ball instead because you don't want to be at that numbers disadvantage. Most frequently, you're going to be even if you count the running back and accounting for the running back having a defender as his responsibility. Nebraska's running backs haven't been as good, to your point, Nick, of owning that responsibility of, my offensive line, my receivers, my tight ends did their job. They occupied a man. I got one to beat.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's tight quarters. Maybe I got to make him miss in a phone booth. Maybe I got to run through him in the phone booth. But Nebraska's running backs haven't been able to account for their own man nearly often enough recently.
And maybe that's indicative of Nebraska's talent at the running back position, right?
Plays
like even going back a few years, like the Marquis Steps, you knew that wasn't the type of, he's not the jump cut agility type of back. He was more so going to be the downhill runner, go right through you. Same with Jaquez Yant. But like even Maurice Washington was one where it feels like Nebraska's just missed on having somebody that has breakaway speed.
I think Maurice Washington was probably that last, but like he had the breakaway speed, but I don't think he was the make somebody, like he's just outrunning everybody.
Well, and that's part of it. I think, but like I look at these guys now on this roster, the running back room, the 4 that were listed, right? The 4 that are going to be playing on Saturday per Matt Rhule,
and
whatever order you want to put them in, Ramir, Emmett, Gabe Irvin, and Dante Dowdell. Dante Dowdell is intriguing. Doesn't probably have the breakaway speed that we're looking for. Gabe Irvin, health is always going to be a factor until it's not. Health is always going to be a something for Gabe. Also, he's just a big, big fella, 6'1", 220. Like, he's going to be him and Dowdell, I look at pretty similar to where Dowdell is 6'2", 225, and Gabe Irvin is 6'1", 220. Then you have a little bit of a quicker guy in Emmett Johnson. I think he gives you your best chance at having that breakaway speed. Now, he's not number one, though, on the depth chart. They're all co-starters. So something is holding him back, or something is holding the staff back from giving him that number one job.
Well, I don't think you have to have the breakaway speed guy. I think Nebraska just has to have running backs that are fast enough.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. The first three steps when you get to the second level, you make the linebacker miss, you have to change the defensive back's angle, right? Yeah. He's coming down. You have three steps to change the pursuit angle from the backside, right? Amir Abdullah, by his own admission, was not the fastest running back in the room. Mm-hmm. Rex Burkhead was not the fastest running back there. But once they hit that second level, they were fast enough to keep defenders at bay, right? Even like Roy Helu.
And they were good at multiple things.
Good at multiple things, right?
Yeah.
They were a 7 out of 10 at pretty much everything and maybe an 8 out of 9 at something else. Amir was shifty, had great vision. Rex Burkhead, it was the balance. Roy Helu was probably an 8 out of 10 at pretty much everything. I couldn't tell you what he was best at, but he could do it all. Whereas it seems like Nebraska, and you look at this list, has a bunch of one-trick ponies, which isn't bad. It just takes more careful management.
Yeah, management's a key. And we'll see how EJ Barthel and Marcus Satterfield and obviously Matt Rhule at the top, they all decide playing time and carries and things like that. Ramir Johnson, 5'10", 200. I mean, the guy's been here for a long time. Ramir Johnson has. And just that one, just under 600 yards on the season back in 2021. On a season where he started fifth on the depth chart. I mean, Scott Frost even said it. He started fifth on the depth chart and ended up being Nebraska's leading rusher. I think that's pretty accurate to a way to describe the running back room over the last, 10 years or so prior to this year. So,
all right. So who's the guy that's not on the depth chart right now that's going to lead the team in rushing?
Well, that's what's Mekhi crazy.
Nelson, step on up.
There it is.
It's Mekhi.
Somebody asked about Quentin Knives earlier.
Quentin Knives isn't on here. Maurice Mazzucca isn't on here. But once again, it's like they certainly don't give you the ultimate confidence. I also don't know, looking at Trent these four Euler? Names, I don't know, looking at these four names, like, do we see a Divino Zigbo type in here? I don't see the offense providing an opportunity for a Divino Zigbo type.
Is Gabe Irvin the Divino Zigbo candidate?
If there was one where I would
be the closest.
I think he'd be the closest. Not a lot of people are thinking about him. It's a lot of Emmett Johnson, Dante Dowdell discussion.
He was the dude 3 years ago.
Started 2021, true freshman. He was the starting running back. Got hurt against Oklahoma down in Norman. And that's when Ramir Johnson took over. You guys know I'm high on Gabe Irvin, but I mean, I'll be the first one to admit it, put my right hand up and go, yeah, you know what? Health is always going to be a topic of conversation with Gabe Irvin Jr. until it's not.
Craig. Craig.
My laptop died mid-segment here, so I don't got text.
Craig says, you guys are not thinking pass blocking for the prize quarterback is of most importance right now. Pass blocking is a skill. If pass blocking is what keeps a running back off the field, stop. If he can run the ball, give him the ball.
Yeah, I also
just get in the way, get run over. That's all you have to do.
That's like, number three.
I think it's also going to be important for Dylan to get hit this year.
It's gonna
like
the
like,
Andrew Luck guy that needs to get hit to get woken up and
let's,
ready
let's,
to go.
Let's put a stop. Happen. Let's stop it right there because I think the I think there's the Dylan Raiola conversation that we need to have. And I think the spillover is a good spot for it because we can bring in Strick and get your guys' thoughts on that. 402-464-5685. We'll step aside, finish out that show coming up next.
Download our app by searching 93.7 The Ticket in your app store to stay in touch and listen all day long wherever you are. More of the happy hour is next on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.